97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, you're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Mark. Glad you're here with us this morning. Kim St. Ange, Carl Middleman, Susan Thomas in here with you on your Friday morning. A little bit of rain out there. That's kind of odd, isn't it? We haven't had rain in ages.
No, I know.
Yeah, I mean,
at least it's not freezing.
Well, true. At least it's not freezing. That is a good point. But it's going to be in and out of here pretty quickly, apparently, just enough to probably snarl your morning drive just a little bit. And then another gorgeous weekend. You just can't beat that. Use it as an excuse to go vote early. Get that thing banked right now. Let's get these votes banked. I was impressed with the number of people. And, of course, you have no idea when you're standing in line with somebody to vote how they're going to vote. But there were hundreds of people in line yesterday out in St. Charles County where I voted. I had to wait an hour and 40 minutes, in fact, in that line to get inside and vote and back to my truck.
Wow. See, it was so different. The longest part of the wait process for me yesterday at the St. Peter's location was just the line on 79 to get up to the front. And then once we parked and actually stood outside the election authority, I mean, we were in there and out within probably 30 minutes.
Wow. That's good. I got there. The parking was no problem, but that Element Church out there near 40, 64, and 70. But once you got there, the line was wrapped around the end of the building and back into a back parking lot, and it just took a while to get through. Hopefully, as you've reported here, Kurt Barr, the elections director, tells us he's working on increasing staffing, at least at that location. There's nothing he can do about it. Thank you. There's nothing he can do about the traffic problems on Highway 79 because that's a MoDOT issue. They're doing construction, and it's just snarling everything.
Okay, but MoDOT should have known this was an election year. Why could the county have not chosen a different location? I understand that's headquarters, but we knew this was going to cause an issue. And I am so thankful they're adding more election judges, and I'm sure that will speed up the process a little bit. But is there any possibility of moving those additional election judges to, say, a third polling location instead of just adding them to an existing one?
How about the St. Charles Family Arena?
Perfect.
County, I should say, the county controls it, I believe. I don't know why they couldn't just open that up and let people go out there and vote. But they haven't done that. And if we get any answers on that, we will let you know. Coming up, we're going to talk to Jim Carafano from the Heritage Foundation. Have him on every Friday. Great to get him on here this morning. Denny Hoskins, state senator, who is on the ballot as the Republican candidate for Secretary of State. He will join us at 7:35 to talk about the election and election integrity issues and all of that. Top of the next hour, Senator Josh Hawley will be here. Right now, I want to get to our top stories, though.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
I find the fact that she just doesn't really articulate to me her true policy position.
Katie Couric, how about that? Being a little bit critical of the Kamala. I'm sorry. Did I mispronounce that again? She doesn't think that Kamala is authentic.
I know what it would be like if we let her in. Miserable track record. No policies to speak of.
Yeah. And the border, right?
She's got the IQ of a fence post.
Oh! That was Mel Gibson. I love that. Braveheart pointing out that the current candidate for president for the Democrats has the IQ of a fence post.
I think that clip illustrates exactly why Harris is in trouble at this point. And it's something that I don't understand why the campaign does not address.
Yeah, that is Frank Luntz. Frank Luntz, of course, is the pollster talking about the fact that whatever Kamala Harris is doing right now, it's not bleeding through to the public, and it's not helping her one iota.
So yesterday we learned that Donald Trump's former chief of staff, John Kelly, a retired four-star general, confirmed that while Donald Trump was president, he said he wanted generals like Adolf Hitler had.
Did you hear that soundbite earlier this week, Kim?
Yes, I did.
So this raises some questions, and I'm going to raise this question to Josh Hawley, our U.S. senator, when we get him on here in 1 hour. Why that news conference that she held? Do you know where it was? It was at the White House. She walked out with the either the presidential or vice presidential seal on the podium in front of a white door with the flags on each side at the White House and held a news conference regarding claims by a disgraced former chief of staff for Donald Trump, denied by Donald Trump and all the people surrounding him. This guy's trying to sell a book or something, and he's decided that 5 years later he's finally going to come out and say this 2 weeks before an election, 10 days before an election. So she comes out to announce this groundbreaking news at the White House, which I would argue is a direct violation of the Hatch Act. We hear about it all the time. It was put in place in 1939 to keep employees of the White House and Congress, but specifically the White House and government employees, from taking an active part in political campaigns, engaging in political activity on government property for the nature of getting elected. I don't know how what she did is not a Hatch Act violation. Had she done it at the Naval Observatory, where she lives, it would have been a Hatch Act violation. In fact, Corinne Jean-Pierre goes to great lengths in most of her questions about Joe Biden and Donald Trump to say, we can't address that from here. You'll have to talk to the campaign. You'll have to talk to the campaign. They do that because there's supposed to be a clear separation between campaign activities and holding a federal office. So, Josh Hawley's a constitutional lawyer. I'm going to be interested to hear why this isn't a violation of the Hatch Act for her to do what she did.
I think I didn't even know about that, if I'm being honest, but I think what stood out to me is just how divisive the language was that she used and just the irony that Obama saying, I don't know how we know where this division started. Well, it started during your administration, Obama, but then obviously Kamala's fueling that, adding fuel to the fire. But you remember Biden when he did that weird press conference? It was like his first thing when he was saying, did he announce at that point that he wasn't going to be running for re-election or something like that? And he said, we need to tone down the rhetoric because da-da-da-da-da, and then they're right back at it. You know what I'm talking about? He was sitting in the Oval Office.
Yeah, yeah.
Guess she didn't listen to his advice there.
No, I don't think so. I'm anxious to know. Maybe there's something I don't understand about it, but I don't know why she's allowed to stand up and do that from the White House, is my point. Anyway, we'll ask Senator Hawley coming up here at 808 when we get him on the air. He's been in Missouri for the past couple weeks, going up and down the highways in his Josh Hawley for Senate bus, and he's probably got a thing or two to say about target shooting. I don't know why, but I'm sure that's going to come up. We'll be back with J.J. Carafano.
Since October 7th, a year ago, Israel has achieved most of its strategic objectives when it comes to Gaza, all with the idea of making sure that October 7th could never happen again. Now is the time to turn those successes into an enduring strategic success.
You know, I was born in the South. South Bronx.
Jim Carafano on the phone with us this morning. Jim, I didn't remember when Anthony Blinken got elected Prime Minister of Israel, but apparently he thinks he is.
He's a total yahoo. Here's the problem for Israel. There's no question that the Israelis are only interested in one thing, to defend the state of Israel. Hamas wanted to destroy the state of Israel. Hezbollah wanted to destroy the state of Israel. They've now dealt an absolutely devastating blow to Hamas, and they are well on their way to crippling Hezbollah's offensive capability.
Yeah.
But that's just buying time, because the Iranians will put those guys eventually back in the game. The only thing that changes the situation for the long term is if Iran is constrained, and we just literally don't have an American policy that's doing that. So it'd be like the captain of the Titanic dodging an iceberg, but he's just going to hit another iceberg if we don't do something different.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know why the American people can't see that. I've asked that question all the time when I have people on here who are Jewish by faith. Because the Jewish population in the United States overwhelmingly votes a Democrat. And I look at this and I'm like, why would you think we should stop them when they're on the verge of their greatest success? Why would they stop now?
Yeah, I think, you know, look, for most American voters, look, we are a two-party country, you know, and we have one party that is basically conservative. We have another party that's basically progressive. Well, here's your problem if you are a single-issue voter. You could be 1090 with the party you're voting for, right? You could be voting for them on a issue, but on the other 90% of the issues, they're not with you. And I think, and look, I'm not Jewish. I get that. But I think this is the problem with American Jews is if you sit down and you go through the numbers of the liberal party that you've been traditionally associated with and the conservative party, in the end, when you add them up, who has more in common with you? And I would argue generally it's conservatives. And I think this is why this is a struggle for Jewish voters, because but on this key issue, the party that they're associated with is not with them at all.
Yeah.
I wanted to switch gears here for a second and get your reaction to news that 3,000 North Korean troops have now deployed to Russia.
Look, I think it just shows the absolute desperation of the Russians. I think it remains to be seen if they make a real significant operational difference on the battlefield. I will say that this actually is a declaration of war. North Korea has essentially just declared war on Ukraine. And, there's a difference between providing material support, which lots of people do in lots of situations, and actually taking active participation in combat. You know, the interesting thing was, during the Korean War, the Russians actually flew combat missions against the Americans. They just pretended they weren't there.
So, right.
Yeah. But for the North Koreans to be openly sending troops to Ukraine is essentially a declaration of war against Ukraine, which I'm not sure is the smartest thing that's going to happen. Look, I think, if Donald Trump wins the election, he will want his instincts would be to go back to Kim and say, OK, let's pick up where we left off and start talking about the denuclearization of North Korea. Kim is digging himself a really deep hole. He's making it a lot harder for Trump to come back. And so I'm not sure what the calculations are in North Korea. But if there's a book that says not smart, just mark them down on that.
But now, didn't the South Koreans say they may pitch in and help Ukraine?
Right. Yeah. I've said that. I know I've said this on your show before. You know, I'm not always right. You know, people say, well, what are the Russians going to do? And sometimes I'm wrong. And the reason usually when I'm wrong, it's because I take the stupid, ridiculous, dumb options and say, well, don't do that. Right. But sometimes they do.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it sounds scary times for sure. Jim, have a great weekend, my friend. Always love having you on Fridays. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. You're the best.
You bet.
You are the best.
You
the
are
best
the best.
Voice in the radio universe. There you go, right there.
We'll talk soon. Jim Carafano there from the Heritage Foundation, heritage.org, if you want to go there and check him out. Yeah, I continue to be surprised by that. When I don't know why. At some point, I need to stop being surprised. But I just can't help myself when I see these continued statements by Anthony Blinken speaking on behalf of the Harris-Biden administration, telling Israel, we know what's in your best interest better than you do, when that's not the case. We're not surrounded by people trying to kill us, generally speaking. Let Israel do what they need to do. To Hezbollah, to Hamas, they're surrounded by terrorists who want to wipe them off the face of the earth. We need to keep our nose out of it and keep giving them all the support we can. Coming up, Senator Denny Hoskins is running for Secretary of State, and he's got some specific changes he'd like to make to how we vote once he gets elected. We're going to talk to him right after the break. Yeah, you know, just, 9 days left till Election Day. 971talk.com has got all the information you need on that. And, of course, it's got my voter guide that you can download. And it's got the major statewide offices covered. Obviously, president, obviously, the Senate race with Josh Hawley. And, of course, a couple of state Senate seats that are going to be key to Republicans holding the supermajority down in Jeff City. I mean, not that that did us a lot of good with initiative petition reform. We had senators down there who had their parking spaces taken away and were threatened to have their furniture taken away if they didn't toe the line, right, with Senate leadership. So that's just kind of where we've been on this whole thing, and it's sad, but their ability to influence what goes on in Jeff City is super. Think about that for a minute, Kim. They have a super majority, which means no matter who the governor is, they can pass things, and and override a gubernatorial veto if that's what happens. I mean, not that I think Mike Parson or Mike Kehoe is likely to do that. But they could, at the end of the day, mm-hmm. do those things. And that is why it's so important that we pay attention to the names that that are on my list as you go down through there. And I just thought I'd go back over those with those for just a moment. And we're going to get to our guest here coming up. So go to the voter guide. You can see who my picks are, and it will make the whole thing a lot easier for you. You can print it off, whatever the case may be. Now, if you go down through there and you look under Secretary of State, you're going to see Senator Denny Hoskins' name, and we've got him on the phone this morning. Senator, welcome back. How are you?
Great. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for giving me a minute this morning, and thanks for putting your name out there and being at the top of the ticket.
Well, thank you, and thank to all the listeners out there who came through and voted for me this past August. I mean, it was truly a grassroots effort.
Yeah, absolutely. I know it takes a lot of work to. I mean, did you know what you were in for when you were running for statewide office? That is a lot of traveling, isn't it?
It is a lot of travel. I've always said, hey, Missouri is definitely a big state, but I said there's no city too big or town too small. And you know, between January and the end of July of this year, we went to about 150 events all across the state. So we really just outworked everyone and went around and met folks and got the message out about election integrity and what I want to do as Secretary of State.
Yeah. Before we get into that, I was just saying there off the top that there are a couple of key Senate races this year. I think District 15 here replacing Andrew Koenig is going to be one of them, that if the Republicans were to lose one of those seats, they would lose their supermajority in Jeff City. I mean, there's a lot on the line here.
That's right. There is a lot on the line there. And I know that, you know, there's two places that we're watching over there, the Schmelting race and the Gregory race. And so we want to make sure that they get elected. We need, you know, they're both very conservative, and we need conservatives in the Missouri legislature. Unfortunately, now, you know, sometimes because people have R behind their name, that doesn't necessarily mean Republican. It could mean Rhino, but these guys are definitely conservatives, and we want them in the Missouri State Senate.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure you've given a lot of thought to what you might do. I don't know if you'd do anything differently than what Jay Ashcroft has done as Secretary of State. I went and voted yesterday, and in St. Charles County, they've only got two early voting locations. I wanted to make sure my vote was banked. And I had to stand in line for an hour and 45 minutes to vote yesterday. That's how big the turnout was. And, you know, in my opinion, Kurt Barr probably should have had more locations open, but he didn't. And that's the situation on the ground here.
Right. It seems like no matter where you look, people are excited. People are excited to get out and vote. I think everybody's ready for November 5th to be here and kind of in the election to be done, whether you're Republican or Democrat. But yes, I encourage everybody to go out and vote. You just never know what may happen on November 5th, whether you're sick or have a death in the family or there's a storm or flood and things like that. So, you know, originally, you know, I've always said that I do believe the most secure elections are in person on Election Day. But we're going to play by the rules that we have right now, and no excuse absentee voting has opened up. And so I encourage everyone to go out there and vote now.
Yeah, I hope they do. Assuming you're elected, which I do believe that you will be, what would you like to do differently than what Jay Ashcroft has done in terms of maybe election integrity and security in the state?
Well, I know some of the things that I said I wanted to be focused on is what I call my contract with Missourians. And the first part of that contract is election integrity. You know, we just saw where Texas audited their voter rolls, and they found 1 million ineligible voters on the voter rolls, including 6,500 non-citizens. Virginia just didn't audit their voter rolls. They found 6,000 non-citizens on their voter rolls. Even a blue state like Oregon, when they just did a audit of their voter rolls, they found 1,500 non-citizens. And in fact, Ohio just came through with a lawsuit where they're suing six non-citizens for voting in past elections. So one of the first things that I want to do is audit, lead a robust audit of the voter rolls here in the state of Missouri to make sure that only eligible voters vote here in the state. You know, we've done some things good in the past several years. We're in 2022. We said, hey, we're going to require photo ID. I know my Democrat opponent voted against that bill and does not believe that you should have to show a photo ID to vote. But that's one of the first things I want to do is make sure that we clean up our voter rolls and only eligible voters are on our voter rolls.
Are those audits not done routinely anytime there's an election? It seems like every state should be doing those.
Yes, yes. And a lot of it, you know, goes whether to the county clerks and how exactly that is done. You know, we got out of ERIC, which I agree, but I think that we could really put more of a focus on our voter rolls and make sure that we don't have any deceased voters on the voter rolls. We don't have any non-citizens on the voter rolls. And, you know, over there on the east part of the state, you know, obviously you have people that probably move back and forth between Illinois and Missouri. Just like on the west part of the state, we have people that move back and forth between Overland Park, Kansas, and Kansas City, Missouri. And so looking at those change of address forms, I know in some of the other states, when I've had conversations with them as far as their secretary of states, they've been trying to get the list of illegal aliens and verify that, hey, there's no non-citizens, there's no illegal aliens on our voter rolls. So I think it's something that, you know, I think a lot of them are doing, but I think we need more of a robust process in order to do that.
Yeah. You know, Senator, I brought this up to Secretary Ashcroft on more than one occasion. Obviously, it would require legislation to get it through. But federally, when an employer is going to hire someone, they have to go through E-Verify to make sure that person is eligible to work in the United States. Wouldn't it be so easy to apply that to voter registration?
Yeah, most certainly. You know, in the state of Arizona, well, I backtrack a little bit. Right now in the state of Missouri, if you want to vote, you can get on the Secretary of State's website or go to the county clerk. This is federal law. You just check a box that says you're a U.S. citizen. Boom, you're registered to vote. You don't have to provide any verification that you're a U.S. citizen. The state of Arizona just came through with a state law that said for state and local elections, you have to register to vote, you have to show proof of citizenship.
Yeah.
And so I think that's something Missouri should definitely look at to make sure that, hey, instead of just checking a box that says you're a U.S. citizen, where we've seen in other states, I'm sure there are U.S. citizens that have registered to vote here in Missouri, either on purpose or by accident. But, you know, I think we need to look at laws and legislation that would require proof of citizenship in order to register to vote here in the state of Missouri.
Yeah. Are you, I assume you're a yes on Amendment 7, the citizens only voting?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
most certainly. Most certainly, yes. I'm definitely a yes on Amendment 7. I encourage all the listeners out there to vote yes on Amendment 7. Amendment 7 would ban ranked choice voting. And then also change our Constitution, because right now our Constitution, Article 8, Section 2, says all citizens can vote. And a state like California that has very similar language to what we have, they're letting non-citizens vote in some local and state elections. So Amendment 7, the other thing it would do, it would change the word all to only. So it would say only citizens can vote. And I think that's very important that we make that clarification in our state constitution.
I would agree completely. Important and important next 9 days. What's it look like for you?
It's going to be busy. That's one thing for sure. I know, you know, we're going to be traveling across the state. I think I'm going to be in, St. Louis. I think, on Monday, and then Sedalia on Tuesday, and then we're traveling all across the state. I know some of the statewide, we're trying to get our plan together to meet up and go around the state and visit, you know, Southeast Missouri, Southwest Missouri, Northeast Missouri, the Kansas City area, Mid Missouri, and so it's going to be a whirlwind tour, that's for sure.
Yeah, sounds like it. Well, best of luck to you. You know, you've got my vote, and Senator Hoskins, we'll talk to you soon. After maybe we can say Secretary of State elect Hoskins. How about that?
I hope so. thanks for listening.
You bet. We'll talk soon. That is Senator Denny Hoskins, who is a Missouri senator running for Secretary of State. If you haven't voted yet, download the voter guide. You'll see his name on there. I have endorsed him and plan on voting for him. Kim, what are we whimming about today?
I think it's pretty common these days for people to feel lonely, right? And so a St. Louis man is trying to capitalize on that. He's developed this app where you can actually pay somebody to keep you or your loved one company. I'll explain.
Oh, my goodness. We'll be back in just a minute.
Kim on a whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
Have you ever felt lonely? Because I think at some time or another, all of us can relate to that, the feeling of loneliness. Well, now I have the perfect solution for you. Introducing the Perfect Companion app. St. Louis guy comes up with this idea, went through a divorce, I guess it was within the last year, says he was just feeling lonely, lost his dad, which just made it even harder, said he tried all these dating apps, but it just wasn't finding what he was looking for, and he said he noticed one issue in particular with these dating apps that he wanted to try to address with this new app.
And so the one thing to me that I found alarming is that all dating apps out there, they don't have any real way of vetting these people, right? It's just, hey, sign up. You have no idea what that person's background is, if that person's safe to go out with. And so that was the one thing I wanted to do, is I wanted to develop an app that could really help people that are alone or isolated, or maybe they're just socially awkward and they need to be able to kind of develop them skills and not feel judged.
So here's what they're going to do to address that. They're going to do federal background checks on any of these users of this Perfect Companion app throughout the year. It's not just a single, you've done a background check, you passed, you can join. It's going to be subscription based, and essentially, so let's say I'm saying, well, I'm lonely, I want a companion, so I would pay the subscription, but then the people who are willing to be those companions, they also have to pay for a subscription to cover the cost of the background check.
Isn't this called OnlyFans?
Well, this guy is saying it's designed to be platonic, that let's say, you know, your mom is feeling lonely and she wants someone to play checkers with her on the weekend. And okay, so you would find somebody through this app. It's supposed to be, again, platonic.
Who's
That's the idea.
Check.
Who's had a background check. And she would pay that person to come play checkers with her. The guy's like, well, obviously I can't prevent it from becoming more than that. And I'm sure in some cases it would. But he said it's not created for that reason. There's a launch party actually happening tonight at Dogwood Social in Ellisville, 7 to 9.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Well, good luck to him. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's hard to imagine doing that unless you've found yourself in that situation. I guess I'm fortunate to say I've never been so lonely that I felt like I needed to do something like that.
I can't say I've ever been that lonely where I would want to do this. But I do feel like ever since COVID, there are a lot of lonely people. They just isolated themselves, in part because the government tried to force us to. But then they just kind of stayed that way. And people are waiting or choosing not to get married. And, I don't know. I mean, there's a number of reasons why someone might feel like that. What they're doing, though, is they're saying instead of just making it where it becomes transactional and these people who are signing up to be companions aren't just doing it to get the money. They also have a rating system, kind of like Uber, right? Or like if you buy something off Facebook Marketplace, like your fake dinosaur tooth that you bought, you can rate the person who is your companion. And that way, if they get a terrible rating, it will red flag them.
I'm giving that guy a high rating because he gave me a letter of authenticity.
Yeah,
this
Mark.
This is what I'm telling you. And that's the thing. This guy's business could shoot through the roof after the election, depending on the outcome, right? All those lonely Democrats, if Trump wins, they're gonna need friends. They might have to buy them.
No, they're going to go to the streets and riot. If Donald Trump wins, it's going to be chaos. No matter what happens, folks, it's going to be chaos, I think.
You may be right. There's so much going on. Political candidates, wounding reporters. Oh, by the way, we're going to speak to Josh Hawley. When we come back, right at the top of the hour, we'll ask him about that specific incident with Lucas Kuntz. We'll be back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.